the good, the bad, the ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain
Nutrition,
Chewing
the
Fat
podcast,
episode
137.
Oh, on the nose.
Is it?
Yeah.
Broken clocks right twice a day, isn't it?
And that's how many. It's only taken 137 episodes for you to get that right, I think.
There's a couple of times you've told me and I've remembered. A couple of times.
Right, Joe. Can you remember what we're talking about, or do you want me to take this one?
Oh, it was quite a long, confusing title, so I'll let you do it.
Yeah, it's got all of four words in it.
Well, the way you delivered it to me, I had a few more words in anyway.
I'd say five, actually. Fitness myths, true. And then I'd go slash or false.
That was about as punchy as when you delivered it to me.
Well, I was deciding whether or would be classed as the word or not. That's why I went with 4 to 5. It's another exciting podcast. Welcome to Sustain Nutrition, another punchy one. We're going to talk through the top 5, as was common, fitness myths, which actually, even though they're not true, do have some merits.
That was how you presented it to me. You'll be another half hour closer to death by the end of this.
One foot in the grave. So let's jump straight in then. Number one, eating frequently ramps your metabolism.
False.
Thank Next. You. Number two. No, this is a real common one, isn't it? And it's similar with the breakfast thing. Eat breakfast because it kickstarts your metabolism. You'll burn more calories throughout the day, and as you said, Joe, it's false, isn't it? Eating, you know, and it's something that I fell into, something that I definitely believed back in my early PT career, that eating a little often helped stoke your metabolism, helped you burn more calories. And the science says it doesn't. However, it can be beneficial to a lot of people. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And I can't remember if any of the other myths are breakfast, but we'll get stuck into breakfast at some point, if not hypothetically and literally. And yeah, I think that one of the main issues that I see, and I imagine therefore you see, is that people do not eat enough food frequently enough that then means that they struggle to manage their cravings. And this would be the same reason that we're not massive fans of fasting for most of our demographic, because if you struggle to control your cravings and urges for food under normal circumstances, don't make yourself hungrier. And so by skipping breakfast, skipping meals, you are making yourself hungrier, which makes these things harder. You're putting yourself in a tougher spot. And I think when people eat little and often, they then have more stable blood sugar. They have more food in their stomach. They're just more settled and everything gets easier. I also think that when you do that, people then have more protein and veg, which is what keeps you fullest for the fewest calories. And of course, if people are having a slice of toast for breakfast, then a banana, and then, you know, a cereal bar, and then pasta for lunch, it's not going to help you as much. But when you talk about snacks, people often struggle to think of protein and veg options, where if you break it down into meals, people seem to find that easier. And so it just keeps people full. It just makes everything easier from a biological perspective, which then means your brain's got to do less. You're less reliant on willpower. Happy days. That can only be a good thing for your results.
Yeah, frequent eating, like I said, it's going to keep you fuller. It's going to keep your blood sugar stable, which are two massive things that you have physical control over that are going to have a positive effect on whether you get cravings or not. Like if you want to, like I said, if you want to really struggle to stick to whatever that, God, that dog, God, dab dog.
I'm just going to kick him, hang on.
If you really want to, you know, struggle sticking to whatever dietary approach you've got, make sure you're hungry and your blood sugar is on the floor. You know, it's the whole idea of don't go shopping when you're hungry because you'll make terrible decisions. Eat before you go shopping. So whilst it won't stoke your metabolism, it'll go a long way to help you stick to what you want to stick to.
On the opposite side of this, I don't know if I've told you my my attempt at fasting the other month. And I was like, oh, so what? I've not done fasting in a while. Let's see how this goes. And I'm kind of waiting to work and there's a little office space that I use. And it got to like 1 o'clock. I was like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good here. And I'll just push it. I'll go to 4 o'clock and I'll eat then. Ooh. I came home, I had a meal at 4 and another meal at 4:30. And I had like a bear with a sore head for the rest of the evening. I was up in like the worst mood I could possibly be in. I had another meal at 7 and then I went to bed still angry. Now, it could just be completely out of the blue, but I wouldn't say that I'm normally borderline incandescent with rage. Yeah. And I'm not the most patient person, I know. It was, this was really pushing through the gears. And if you restrict the amount of food you've got, the amount of calories that you take in, it's just making your life harder. And yet there's people out there on Instagram who look fantastic, who do it really well. If you naturally gravitate towards that, brilliant. If you're used to eating consistently, or if you're someone who needs a large volume of food, which is quite a few of the clients that we work with, then you have to play to that. You have to play to your strengths, and you can't expect to take out, you know, 500 grams, a kilo of food and not have to pay the piper. You know, it just makes the biggest difference in my experience with the people that we work with. They don't tend to be people who we work with who work well on small portions. They're not naturally athletic, naturally thin people. And that's not to be mean. It's just the reality of that situation. And I think that that approach tends to work better with those people who are, have been people who don't eat as much or are naturally more athletic. They seem to handle that better insulin sensitivity, I suppose, if you're looking for the nerdy stuff behind it. They just deal with carbs and food better. So you just have to accept that and find the solution that works for you. And hey, if you want to give it a go, eating one or two meals a day, it's great. But it wouldn't, if it doesn't work, then don't stick with it.
So 1 point down, we're 7 minutes in, we're on target for a 2-hour episode here. Second one, that rapid weight loss is a bad thing or a negative thing.
Unsustainable.
Hmm. Often, you know, the people have this, and, you know, we'll use this analogy, this kind of, he's just a dog, Joe, he's just a dog, he's protecting you. This tortoise and the hare analogy about weight loss, and people will see rapid weight loss as a bad thing. I say false. And again, there's a lot of caveats here, isn't it? Like how you lose that weight, etc. But rapid weight loss, I think, does have a place for a lot of people. A lot of people will quit their journey due to frustration of what they would deem as slow progress. And actually, getting some quick wins, getting a big chunk of weight off people who are heavier can be a massive motivator for them. And again, you know, just purely from a health perspective, the biggest increase in your health markers, or positive increase in your health markers, will come from you losing weight no matter how you do that. So if you do have someone who is very overweight, they just need to get some weight off them and it will see positive increases in all their health markers. But yeah, this idea that it's bad, it's a big negative, it's false. Again, there's pros and cons to fast and slow weight loss.
This is far from a meta-analysis, double-blind study perspective. But I remember a while ago seeing something somewhere, you know, the NHS was running this new trial where they gave people shakes for 8 weeks and then they transitioned them onto a whole food diet.
800 calories a room.
And then people said, there were comments saying, this will never work, it's not sustainable, it won't last. And I just thought, I'll just have a quick dig into this and have a browse around. And I found the guy who had run the study. And he'd been running studies since the 1990s. You know, when I was born was when he did his first study. Bear in mind, that's when he'd already got his undergraduate degree, his master's, and then his PhD. So the guy had already been in education for the best part of 7 years by then. And the list of studies that this guy had managed was phenomenal. Must have been like 40 or 50. And now you've just got to, you know, and maybe I'm more trusting this. And I think it's a bit similar to what you see with COVID, is you see people going, yeah, well, they don't know anything. Yeah, there's a point where you have to accept that there are people out there who do know a lot more than you. Now, this guy has run so many studies, there must be a reason that he's doing this. He's not pulled the idea out of his ass that he's going to starve people on a shake diet, and that's the, you know, and that's going to work long term. He's obviously had experience doing this, and so he must have come to a conclusion that in order to keep people motivated, it's more effective for a quick, immediate win. And I think that there's definitely merit in that. And whilst that's not proof in itself, the fact that this stuff is still used on large scale studies is certainly success leaves clues, doesn't it? And they're not going to be using this over and over and over if it doesn't work. And sometimes people just do lose weight really quickly when they get everything spot on. the number of times you hear people say things like, I just lose weight slowly. And then you look at their food and you look at their exercise and go, of course you do. I wouldn't ever say this to the people, but of course you would, because you're eating crap every day. You're not eating very much protein and veg, and your exercise consists of dog walks. The gap between where you're at now and an optimal fat loss approach, I wouldn't say couldn't be much wider, but there's a phenomenal amount more you can do. Now, if somebody was to follow the optimal exercise plan, they were to track their calories, they were to have one higher calorie meal each week, which was accommodated into their calories, most people will absolutely hemorrhage weight. You know, I'm talking a stone a month to start with. Most people could get that off if they really pushed it. But people will hang their hat on it's got to be sustainable, but then give up halfway through, or not even halfway through. They'll give up within the first couple of weeks anyway. And I think that there's definitely a time and a place for trying to push harder just to see how hard it is, because often it's not that bad. You know, that this optimal training plan I'm talking about is people lifting weights 4 days a week, doing a bit of cardio at the end, hitting 10,000 steps a day, just eating protein, veg, carbs at their meals. I'm not talking about having dry chicken breast and broccoli four times a day. I'm just talking about a standard, easy to follow plan. But if you can nail that consistency and cut out all those little extras and get your training on point and get stronger and fitter, I could probably count on one hand the number of people over the 7 years of running Sustain that I've seen people do that, because it's such a big void. I'm not suggesting that everyone goes out and does it, but if what's working for you, well, if what you're doing right now isn't working, then there's definitely scope for giving that a go, because you might just prove to yourself that you can do it. I don't know, food for thought.
I just want to double check. You're not fasting today, are you, Joe? Because you seem quite agitated.
No, I'm not fasting today. I just saw you eat
an entire tub of Cat Door.
Yeah, two tubs, in fact. One was the rest of my breakfast, and one was half my meal.
Yeah, I think again one of the pros for like rapid fat loss, as you said, is you get the results quick, so you can get in and out like the SAS. You can hit your diet, you can hit it hard, you can get the results that you want. You can get out the other side. Again, one of the pros for slower weight loss is it accommodates real life. You can have a weekend away and not stress about it. You can have a week's holiday. You can do all these social events and then not, you know, necessarily slow down your progress. Whereas, you know, if you're going for like a 10-week blast or 12-week blast where you want, like you said, to get as much weight off as possible, you do have to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's. You do have to be a little bit more, I can't do this and I can't do that, because you've got to be a bit more restrictive because you want these faster results. So there's pros and cons to both, but I think the idea that rapid weight loss is bad is flawed. Again, it all depends.
And, you know, we are a company called Sustain Nutrition. We're about people taking things at the pace that's right for them. We would recommend that most people do take that slower approach. If it was as black and white as people suggest that rapid fat loss is bad, then we would have 100% success rate, and we don't. You know, there are some people who the sustainable route isn't effective. So you can either say, right, keep trying this. Maybe it's time to try something different. Maybe you should get a PT who trains you 3 times a week and gives you a meal plan. You know, maybe that's going to be the difference, because you can't just keep following the same route. You can't keep going to Weight Watchers and eating all your sins and whatever and it not working. I mean, you can, but I wouldn't recommend it. I would certainly be shopping around and working with someone different. Now, if you've worked with us before, it didn't work, then I'd probably recommend, and you can hand on heart say that you put effort into that process, then I would try something probably more restrictive next. You know, put more money in, because that will give you more buy-in and you'll get better results. And maybe that'll change your habits. You don't know.
Or join Sustain Alliance, but I mean, I'll try not to push business away, John. Number three, faster cardio is better for fat loss. Vrai or faux?
No, what are you saying?
That was French.
Ah, very
true
good.
Or false?
German was my mini school. Obviously, the language of love, German.
Das ist richtig.
Fasted cardio, no difference. It all depends on the balance of the day.
Yeah. So overall calories are always going to count, whether they get them in the morning. It's similar to fasting, isn't it? You know, whether you get them all in a 6-hour window or whether you do, you know, your overall calories, whether you train fasting or not, it doesn't matter. It's your overall calorie burn versus your overall calorie intake. I think where this falls down is, does it fit with your lifestyle? Does it fit with your day? Now, some people don't like eating breakfast first thing in the morning. So if that is the barrier from you going training, going, well, I shouldn't train fasted, have some, need to have something to eat, but then I don't have time to have something to eat. So then I can't do my cardio. I can't train on the morning. Then just do fasted cardio. If you feel better doing fasted cardio than you do doing cardio with food in your stomach, then don't do it.
The biggest obstacle that people have is time. And that if so, you immediately have the easiest spots at the start or the end of the day. And most people are going to find it easier to get up 30 minutes earlier than they are do 30 minutes of extra cardio at the end of the day, because it's harder. You know, how many people do you see binge in the morning versus binge in the evening? Our willpower is always lower later in the day when you've had to make more decisions over the course of the day and you're tired. So it's just automatically going to work better for people. You know, I've managed to change my wake up time kind of sporadically, but over a period of time, and that has been so much more beneficial to my productivity, because I just don't work very well in the evenings. And so I can either kind of flog that dead horse and say, right, no, I will work at night, or I can adapt my schedule accordingly. And that's the same for most people. If you've never managed to go to the gym on the evening, never managed to go out for a jog or do some cardio at night, and you're over the age of 25, which is going to be everyone listening to this, then put it in the morning, see if it works. You know, it's a real bugger. I really struggle to kind of to change my sleeping habit, but now it's there, and it just opens up so much more possibility to you if you're capable of doing that.
Yeah, for me, 100%. The earlier I do stuff, the more likely it is to happen, because you don't get that, oh, I'm tired now, oh, I'm hungry now, oh, I've just eaten, I don't want to get a stitch and drown. You have a phone call, you record a podcast, something happens. You know, there's always tons of stuff that can get in the way later, as you go later on to the day. You know, like, you have to work late, your meeting runs over, you have to get a phone call, you have to go to pick up something for dinner, whatever it is. Get it done first thing, for me, works really well. Now, sometimes I'll train fasted, sometimes I'll eat. It depends. I just judge it on how I feel in the morning. If I wake up really hungry, guess what? I'm going to eat. Because if not, I'm going to be absolutely starving when I'm training. If I feel good, like I did this morning, then I'll just have a coffee and train. Number four, exercise to burn fat. Shut up to talk now. It's like it's frozen. I would say, again, exercise should complement your journey. I want everyone to exercise. But the old adage of you cannot out-train a bad diet is true, because it's so easy to eat calories, it's not as easy to burn them.
Sadly.
Yes, if only. I'm going to go, it's going to take me, whatever, 20 minutes of training to burn 150 calories. It's going to take me less than a minute to eat three custard creams, which is the equivalent. Like, which one's easier for me to adjust? Me not eating custard creams because they're like prison biscuits. Don't know why I use that as an example. Or me to go walk on an incline treadmill for 20 minutes.
Judging by your 5K capabilities, it's probably 50-50, to be honest.
How rude. But, yeah, exercise is a very inefficient fat loss system, as in it's so hard to burn a significant amount of calories versus controlling your food intake. However, for me, and I believe you're the same, when I'm training hard, I eat better as a general rule. It's very rare that I'm training really hard and I'm eating a load of crap, and vice versa as well.
Definitely a correlation between that, in that my periods of not training do 100% not correlate to periods of better eating.
Yeah.
Which immediately blows out the excuse of time, doesn't it? Because something's going wrong there. Because in the same breath, if I'm eating, I can't think of a time when I've not trained and I've been eating fantastically. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, the willpower for both kind of drops in equal measure. And so, yeah, it's just about finding that kind of balance and that consistency about what's going to work for you, and trying to make sure that the exercise piece is sustainable and progressive. You know, most people aren't working hard. Most people aren't doing the right things, and the people that are doing the right things aren't working hard enough. It's devilishly simple. If you just go in and do lunges, leg press, rows, chest presses, pull downs, and progress those, write down your numbers, honestly, you'd be ahead of 99% of the people I've worked with. It really is that simple. And when people say, I'm going to treat myself here, you say to people, are you lifting progressively? And people will say yes. And you go, okay, give me an example. I used to do lunges with the fours and now I do them with the sixes. Okay, so what time frame is that over? The last 6 months. Okay, that's not progressing. That's not progressive. That is progressed once and plateaued for 5 months. And it makes you sound like an arse, but if people are looking for solutions, that's such an easy one. You know, that weights and training is just lifting it 1%, 2% for minutes at a time, and then you get the benefit afterwards. And so it's just so important that people take that stuff seriously.
You treat yourself there, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I felt good on that one.
And last one, no carbs after six. I suppose this comes from the myth that, you know, if you eat carbs after 6 o'clock, like a gremlin or something, but what happens if you're in a time zone? That will turn to fat. Now, obviously, it's bullshit. It doesn't make any sense. Your body doesn't have a clock on it. However, I suppose kind of feeding windows, this would class as, wouldn't it? Similar to fasting, can be of benefit to people. But as we were kind of talking, well, we were planning this podcast before we did it. Makes it sound far more official than me going, this is my idea. And you go, what have you got? Carbohydrates. And again, you know, the reason why people go like, oh, I've just got to cut carbs is because problematic foods or foods that people have problems with, problems moderating, tend to contain carbohydrates. So if you draw that bright line, am I saying that right? That there's no carbohydrates after 6 o'clock, it eliminates the option for you to snack on, graze on, eat these foods. It's just very clear. I don't eat 4 rounds of toast at 9 o'clock because I'm hungry. I don't eat a share bag of Walker Sensations because they've got carbs in. Good face on that one. I knew you'd like that one. I'm going to say sweet chili.
What flavor are you thinking? You've gone straight in.
George, you honestly think I don't know you well enough? I've got a photo of you eating sweet chili Sensations wearing one of my gym t-shirts.
I don't remember the situation, but I'm sure it happened.
I don't think you ever gave it back to me, or you probably just gave it back to me dirty. But side note, so these can be useful again if you struggle with these, giving into these cravings on an evening, like you said earlier, which made my ears prick up. You know, people don't binge at breakfast; they binge on an evening for whatever reason that is, and it could be a whole host of, that'd be a totally different podcast. So if you've got this very clear, like, I don't eat that, right? Well, I need to find something else. What am I going to have? Well, I'll have some high-protein yogurt, whatever. You're going to find something else, an alternative, which is more than likely going to be less calories, and you're going to not binge on it because you don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, it's, as you alluded to before, the bright line stuff, one of the most successful diets ever, the Atkins diet, because people just love really simple rules that you can stick to. People, human beings like clarity, and I think that's one of the things that we've struggled with, I guess, with taking sustain to the masses sometimes is it's not crystal clear. So therefore, you have to listen a bit more and then put some thought into it. So it doesn't roll out as easy as Atkins, where you go, just cut out every single carb, eat whatever you like. Well, that is really easy and it works for people. So of course, it's going to be popular. Does it work long term? I don't really know enough of the details about it, but I'd say it doesn't really fit into most people's lives particularly well. You know, most people tend to want carbohydrates and enjoy them. And can you do that at a healthy weight and in a beneficial way? Yeah, absolutely. I think it doesn't really tie into living a healthy, balanced life, which most people want to do. You know, you're not just going to say to your kids, right, no cereal, bread, pasta, chips or toast. I know bread is toast, but you know what I mean? Ever again, because that's not what we do in this house. You know, is that really realistic? I would personally say not, but each their own. So, yeah, I can understand the allure. It's obviously going to be popular because it's so crystal clear, but just doesn't really tie into being sustainable either.
Another rant. Yeah, so again, it has its pros. It certainly has its cons. Well, it's nonsense. Doesn't make any sense as such, but yeah, it could be beneficial for some people if you find yourself eating a ton of carbs on an evening. You've got that clear, like, I don't eat carbs on an evening. Cool, I've eliminated a ton of my problematic foods, which I believe I can't stop eating.
I've had to start drinking before midday.
Yeah, stuff in my... And again, that comes down to the intermittent fasting, you know, feeding window. Like, well, if you eat 4,000 calories within a six-hour window, you're driving, still going to gain weight. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. And just like if you eat 500 calories over a 24-hour window, you're still going to lose an absolute shed load of weight. That's not dietary advice.
And that ties into binging, doesn't it? If you look at when people binge and doing the maths with somebody recently on one of their binges, And they was talking about clearing about 4,000 calories in an hour without it being an issue. Yeah. If you are struggling with that sort of eating pattern, or even just, you know, I would say that I've probably binged once in my life. The rest of the huge volume of high calorie eating outside of that has just been excessive eating. If you struggle with that, then you shouldn't go anywhere near an eating protocol that has any similarities to that. You should avoid that like the plague. And I think a lot of people listening to this would fall into that bracket and are probably considered fasting. And I think if you're in that group, don't. Would be my advice. Just a random thought occurred to me there at the end.
Yeah, no, I got a slight tangent with the fasting stuff. Like, if it suits your life and you find it easy or you feel good doing it, do it. If you're doing it because you believe it's a secret to fat loss, don't do it, because you're just going to make your life a whole lot harder.
Oh, and if it fits your life, then I'm probably going to put you underwater and see if you float, because I just don't think this. I can't imagine. I can't imagine many people being like that.
Some people just don't like breakfast, Joe. Some people just don't like breakfast.
Just don't like eating. I don't get it.
Right. That's it. Thanks as always for listening. Don't forget, we've got a ton of free resources within our private support community. Mini course. We've got a free members area on the website. What else have we got, Joe? Podcasts, you know, obviously.
Do you know the address for the diet diagnosis?
No. But you can
tell them, tell them what it is. I'll find out what it is.
You can find it. It's like dietdiagnosis.com/score app or something. Go to the website, www.sustainnutrition.co.uk, and you can take the diet diagnosis, which will flag up key areas where you are missing out on why your diet's not successful. Be that focus, be that mindset. Go on, Joe.
diet-diagnosis.scoreapp.com.
Flashy. Catchy. Other than that...
It's better than you reading out wrong, I'd say.
Shut up. Whatever you do, do not leave us a review. Don't like the podcast. Don't tell anyone about it. See that? I do that with Magnus. Whatever you do, don't go give your mother a kiss. That's what I've done there. Right. Thanks as always. Do you want to say goodbye, Joe?
See you later.
Bye.